Do you sell stuff on Amazon, eBay, BigCommerce, your own website? Then you need ShipStation, a popular choice of online sellers across Australia. No matter where you sell, ShipStation automatically imports your orders, making them easier to manage. Plus, they help you get the lowest rates from all the top carriers, including Australia Post. Now you can try ShipStation free for 30 days. Plus, get a special bonus when you use the code SHIPPING. To learn more, go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone and enter shipping.
It's great to have in the inner sanctum, John J.J. Miller, having a great chat off air. John, welcome into the studio. Great to see you and congratulations about your induction into the Hall of Fame. What's that mean to you?
Thank you. Well, it's a great honour, of course. Something that I never envisaged in my lifetime. And, to be in amongst, people like the fellas that I used to envy, if you might say, the Jim Pikes, Darby Munros and fellas like that, you know.
Well, you deserve your place well and truly because it is such a remarkable career. More than 2,200 winners. You've ridden features. You've ridden champions like Tobin, Bronze and Galilee that we'll speak about. And then you became a very successful trainer in your own right. And your longevity. When did you retire from the saddle?
I retired. I was 57 when I retired.
And you're...
So I rode for about 42 years.
Just remarkable. And to see you now, you're 84 years of age. You look fit as a fiddle. You look about 30 years younger than...
That's a bonus.
...than what your actual age is. So what was the secret to your longevity in the saddle?
Probably my grandparents' genes. They say that's probably got something to do with it. But the family are all long livers.
Yeah.
And that's always a bonus. But despite the fact that, I started smoking when I was about 12 because they told you it helped to keep your weight down, if there was a thing I'd change, I would never have smoked. And I've just given up again for the 10th time 2 weeks ago.
How's it going?
And, the first day's not real crash hot, but then after that, luckily, I've got a fair amount of determination. So, I've been a bit of a health crank, of course.
Well, you look fit. What do you do these days to keep fit?
Well, I swim probably 5 days a week and do exercises and stuff like that. I don't eat a great deal, which is another bonus. I remember a mate of mine who was on the Burma Siam Railroad, and he lived to his 90 odd, and he says lack of food is no detriment to longevity.
Well, you've had a great grounding then, being a jockey in that area. Yeah. Tell us about your history and your family history and where you got your love and your family's love from racing came from. Where did it all start?
Well, on my dad's side, my grandfather, they all came out from Ireland, of course, and they ended up in Ballarat. And I remember I had two apprenticeships. I was apprentice jockey to my dad, and then I was apprentice boilermaker. Because I had a race crash and things didn't look too good because I put on a lot of weight. And anyhow, my dad says to me, jump on your bike tomorrow morning and go over to McLarty's. And Mr. McLarty's going to apprentice you as the boilermaker. And the reason for that was because I was always interested in making things, I could... oxy well when I was about 9 years old and stuff like that. And one of my uncles, Bob Coleman, taught me to drive in a 5-ton truck when I was about 13 or something, and so on. And so anyhow, I rock up at McLarty's, and Mr. McLarty comes along. He was 84, my age, then at the time. And everyone's waiting for him to open the factory up. And he says, little JJ, he says, I remember your family when they came down from, came down to South Melbourne from Ballarat. Card sharps, two-up players and cattle thieves. So that was on my, and on my dad's side, he had seven brothers, and four of them were jockeys.
Yep.
Two of them great jockeys. And they were sort of all my mentors. On my mother's side, she had four or five uncles who were in the racing, jockeys and trainers and stuff like that. And Mum was one of the original horse women. And to give you an example, when I would have been, say, three and a half, my sister would have been one and a half, and Mum had saddled the horse up, and she had a racehorse called Banyule. And Mum had saddled the horse up, and we lived about 3 miles from where my mother's mother lived, out in the sticks, you know. It was all bush where we lived in Palmyra then. And Mum would bring the horse over. I'd put my sister on the tank stand, get up there, and then I'd lift her up, and Mum would put my sister in front of her, and then off she'd go, you know, it won't be long, John, and take my sister down to our Nan's place, and then she'd come back, get me, put me in the front, on the front of her. And my mother, being Mum, she decided after, why make two trips when you can make one? So I'd lift my sister up, Mum would put her in front of her, and then she'd pull me up behind her, you know, hang on tight, John. And Mum used to never do things by halves, flat out, you know, and we'd be going flat out through the bush and everything. And that was just an amazing thing, because probably installing us, the fact that there's no fear.
No fear. And you were born to ride from a young age then.
Yeah.
And speaking of your career, you have ridden all around the world, Mauritius, all over Australia, Singapore, over in Europe, England. What was it like riding in Mauritius back in the day and Singapore back in those times?
Well, I was probably about 18 and a half or so when I went to Mauritius, and that was an experience. Mm. Prior to that, of course, I'd been in the, well, to start with, when I was a kid, I was in the police boys, then and also at the same time the YCW, the YMCA, and then the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
And I was only talking to my troop leader a couple of weeks ago, and that was Sir Philip Bennett, and he was ended up head of the army.
Yeah.
And he was my scout leader in the scouts. And then, after that, of course, the National Service. Went into the National Service, and that was great experience. And, you know, we were trained by all those guys who were Tobruk veterans,
yeah.
You know, the Desert War, Kokoda, and these guys, they were absolutely fantastic.
So how old were you then?
And 18.
What were you doing?
Well, by then I was still riding, and I was apprentice boilermaker and all that, and I was doing all sorts of
Gee
things.
Whiz. Just yeah. Remarkable. And so what was Mauritius like?
Well, it was an experience, and, you know, being young and anyhow, I had a great season there, and then came back to Australia, and my whole career was upset because then along came Kay, and
your lovely wife
and beautiful wife, and long-standing.
We're gonna have a chat to Kay in a moment.
And everything, And of course, then Kay's father was a trainer, and you know, he only had a couple of horses, but achieved some one of the most remarkable coups ever put on when they first installed the legal betting or legal off-course bookmakers in West Australia. And it used to be illegal bookies and everything like that, where it was everywhere. Anyhow, he planned this coup so that on the first day that they had the legal bookies, he knew it would all be chaotic and everything like that. And they used to have concessions doubles and the 20 to 1. So, in other words, if you had two horses, you backed the concession double, it was 400 to 1. So he planned this for this particular day, and he had these two horses, and they both won. And I don't think he ever got paid.
Really?
Fully. But what a coup, you know, when you think of it, to plan all that and to have those two winners on that day, you know?
Well, it sounds like it was a partnership made in heaven. And as I said, we're going to talk to Kay in a moment, but another partnership that was made in heaven was yourself and the legendary Bart Cummings.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
After we had a car accident, which changed our lives, Kay's mother and our oldest daughter were killed in that accident. And anyhow, we're looking for a new start. So we ended up in Adelaide, and I was riding in Adelaide, of course, and was lucky enough to start off my first ride in Adelaide, happened to win. And anyhow, things went on and whatever, and eventually I was riding winners for Colin Hayes because of Windermill Smith. Windermill Smith, my uncle rode for him when he was, running the Yolumba in Perth, and so on. And that, and anyhow, then Kay said to me, "Now listen, you're going to get a phone call this afternoon, and it's going to be Bart Cummings, and stuff like this." So this is the way things used to operate with Kay and I, and she says, "Just shut up and listen, and don't and everything like that." So that was the start of
it. Well, it was very good advice because you formed a formidable partnership, and probably the best horse that you teamed up with was Galilee, who gave you your Melbourne Cup.
Down towards the furlong and a half, and Duo into the lead from Light Fingers. T-Biscuit wider out, and here's Galilee! Galilee is swamping the field. Light Fingers takes the lead at the furlong, but Galilee shortly afterwards claimed it, and Galilee takes the lead, and Galilee's got the Melbourne Cup won with a half furlong to go. Galilee is racing away. It'll win easily. Light Fingers second, Duo third.
How good was Galilee?
Well, he was special by far, by far the best horse I ever had anything to do with. And, that was something special, winning the Melbourne Cup.
How confident were you that Cup day? Because he was unbeatable that spring, wasn't he?
Someone asked me, they said, "When did you know you had the Melbourne Cup won?" And I said, "When I walked out of the steward's room on Monday night and I was able to ride, because things looked like, I could have got a bit of a suspension or something on the Monday night."
Did you come close to being rubbed out?
Well, so a lot of people say, but Kay's prayers and, everything helped the situation along, so that was when I knew I was going to win the Melbourne Cup.
What was that moment like for you?
Well, it was special considering that you don't get many opportunities, and you've got to ride for a long time. And a lot of fellows, some of the great jockeys, never ever got there. And the year before, we ran second in the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup, beating an eyebrow, of course, in the Melbourne Cup.
Zyima?
And, yeah, and, you know, the sinking feeling, it's like being in a grand final and getting beat by a point or something. This will never happen again. And then 12 months later, it all happened, and so... That was something special, you know.
It was a remarkable period for you because at that same time there was another champion horse that you rode called Tobin Bronze. What was Tobin Bronze like?
Well, Tobin Bronze, yeah. Well, he was fantastic, you know. Beautiful horse, and I only fluked the ride on him because Jim Johnson got suspended. And that's how I come to get the ride on him in the Doncaster. And then, of course, I rode him in the All-Age Stakes, and that was the only twice I ever rode him.
Mm.
Yeah.
You rode a horse called Dulcify as well to win an Australian Cup.
Yeah.
What was Dulcify? What type of feel did Dulcify give you? Can you compare these great horses and the feel they give you?
There's something special, you know. I mean... they sort of tell you, you know, or give you the message or whatever, but they are different. Dulcify, you know, I remember probably one of the greatest compliments. Manicato, of course, was the hot favourite and everything. And I remember Gary Willits and we're at a function and they were interviewing him and... And he says, I was unlucky. He said, if anyone else had rode Dulcify, he wouldn't have won. So, of course, he got up and beat Manicato in the Australian Cup. He was just a machine, you know. And, you know, something special.
John, J.J. Miller's our special in-studio guest after being inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm going to take a break in a moment and then we're going to talk to your beautiful wife, Kay. But firstly, before we do, you've been mentioning some of these great jockeys that you rode against. Who were some of the best in your mind that you rode against in that era?
Well, of course, you had Roy Higgins from Melbourne. You had George Moore and... Jim Johnson from Adelaide, Billy Pies, Pat Glennon. You know, you always miss out on mentioning some, but they was great jockeys, you know, great jockeys anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Was it tough during the races back in those days? Not much quarter given?
Very little, you know. I think that things have changed now. You know, they're almost racing in lanes. But it was pretty hectic, you know, and particularly some of the old jockeys. I mean, they were just ruthless, you know. And you learnt the hard way when you were a kid.
Yeah, amazing. Now, John, JJ Miller's special guest, just inducted into the Australian Racing Hall of Fame. I'm going to take a quick break, and then on the other side of this, we'll be joined by his wonderful partner, his wife of 63 years, Kay.
From Racing's Heartland, RSN 927's Racing Pulse.
Welcome back to Racing Pulse. It's great to have John Miller, the legend, in at the studio, joined by his wife now, Kay, of 63 years of age. Kay, great to have you in the studio. How are you?
I wish I was 63 years of age.
Well, you've been married for 63 years. You look 63. You look beautiful.
Thanks.
Congratulations, not just on being John's partner for so long, but also your, I suppose, help in this partnership. John would not be where he is. He admits that without you. But in your own right, you have been a champion trainer as well. You've trained a couple of Perth Cup winners and an Australian Cup winner as well. What's the journey been like over the years with John?
well, be enjoyable, but it's had its ups and downs. But just the same, I'm quite outspoken. But, you know, you knew you... He was easy to sell, I must say that, because I made sure that he was at the track on time always, and it wouldn't have mattered how late he and Bart might have been somewhere coming back from a country race meeting, but he was there.
When you say how late they might have been coming back, was that because they were celebrating or because it was hard
work?
Oh,
no, Bart would be doing his best to sell a horse, of course, and John was enjoying the accolades. And, it used to be Werribee Cup week, you know.
Yep.
And Val and I would be dancing, waiting for them to hurry up and get going and come home.
As I said, you became a trainer yourself in 1986, and you've trained two Perth Cup winners.
Yes.
And John rode them. What was it like combining with your husband as a trainer and when John was the jockey?
Oh, it was good. It really was. He went, and when we had Ulyat, which I was a part owner,
mm-hmm.
with the other two owners, John went to New Zealand and he tried 60 horses, and out of that 60 he bought Ulyat back, and we set him ready for the Perth Cup.
Did you give strict instructions to John, or do you just leave it up to John?
You answered that.
Well, she left a bit of it up to me, in reality, Kay sort of, she was in charge,
mm-hmm.
And I remember the first ride that I had for her, and it got beat, and it turned out that she had something on it, and she sacked me immediately, put a mark on it, our youngest boy, and of course it won three in a row. So that was the start of our partnership as trainer and jockey. And the whole thing is, you know, as a jockey you do your homework, so none of the great trainers that I rode for, they ever gave you any instructions or anything, because they expect you to know what you were doing.
Kay, how proud of you of John being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Very, very, very proud.
How would you describe him?
Volatile. but, you know, I think it was just a good combination that we, having a family together in racing, it made it easier, because you would be sitting down, we had a large table, sit around, and of course all you ever spoke about was racing, including the three boys that were living at home also, you know. There was plenty of discussions as to and why not, you know. So, yeah, it was good, and it did have its hard days, of course, you know, but we made a success of it.
Well, you won so many races back home over in the West, feature races together. You won the railway with Miss Muffet as well. What do you think, Kay, it was your greatest moment as a trainer and with John as a jockey?
I think with Miss Muffet, it meant a lot. We both had been down to Heightsbury, and he went his way and I went mine to have a look at them. And when we caught up with each other, we both had a cross on that lot. And I went from there, and I did ask the rest of the family, did anyone want to be in with me? And they said no. So I took her all by myself, and she just went on, and she was good.
Well, that was an achievement that there was no one else involved, no other owners or trainers or anything. There was Kay, she owned and trained Miss Muffet, and I rode it, and it was something special, you know.
And then she won at Flemington, and Mark rode her, and that was history for us. Because that was the first time that a parent had had a son riding.
Really?
Now it's old hat, but of course in them days, and a main race, it was on Oaks Day.
Well, of course, Starstruck, you combined with Mark to win that Australian Cup,
yes.
Defeating Jern, so that no doubt would have been a huge memory for the family. But then when John retired from the saddle, you handed the trainer's licence over to John, and then, John, you had success in the Perth Cup as well, and it's a remarkable story. King of Saxony, in 1999, did he win the Perth Cup first up?
Yeah. Well, actually, another thing, Kay bred King of Saxony, and And so that's something in itself. And then when she handed all the training to me, and he hurt his leg as a three-year-old, and that virtually made his career pretty difficult. And anyhow, we worked it out that, you know, you virtually had one run in the horse, and that's why we got him ready to in the Perth Cup. And he never saw a track from the previous race, which was in April, until Perth Cup Day. Never got on the grass. We just trained him on the beach and everything, and luckily I was able to ride him myself. But also, luckily, one of the things that happened, my cousin Stephen, who rode him in the Perth Cup, and he had the confidence to that he knew the horse could win, and that was an added boost, because if you had had someone on the horse who didn't have the confidence, so that everything combined together, and so that was gave us great satisfaction, you know. So,
John, it is a remarkable story, your story individually as a jockey turned trainer, but even more so the Miller family and the Miller name in racing. It is an honour that is well deserved. Congratulations once again, being inducted into the Australian Racing Hall of Fame. Kate, lovely to meet you. Thank you for coming in. And these days, what's life like for both of you?
Easy.
Yeah. Enjoying retirement.
Well, it's special, and like, you know, as I said to Kay, she's very lucky that she married me, really. and she says, I'm lucky. She says, you should be the one who's lucky. And I said, well, look, you're lucky that I like bad-tempered people.
I think Kay's an angel. Kay and John, thank you so much for coming in. Enjoy tomorrow night when the official induction takes place, the ceremony. Once again, congratulations. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
John Miller, inducted into the Australian Racing Hall of Fame, and his lovely wife, Kay. We're going to take a break on Racing Pulse. More to come after this.
Do you sell stuff on Amazon, eBay, BigCommerce, your own website? Then you need ShipStation, a popular choice of online sellers across Australia. No matter where you sell, ShipStation automatically imports your orders, making them easier to manage. Plus, they help you get the lowest rates from all the top carriers, including Australia Post. Now you can try ShipStation free for 30 days. Plus, get a special bonus when you use the code SHIPPING. To learn more, go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone and enter shipping.